Champion's Ballad, written by Wanderbird and read by Lattice Frames for Construct Paper as part of ITPE 2025. Summary. Cass is not an unobservant person, so when one particular kid keeps finding him in all the places his teacher used to fixate on, no matter how impossible they are to reach without the help of wings, Cass notices a pattern. And over time, a theory comes to mind, in which Cass knows a little more than he lets on, about that quiet Hylian he's beginning to call friend. Cass didn't think him strange at all the first time they met. Sure, Link seemed to stare a little more than most Hylians did, and didn't speak much, or at all, really. But no one could help the way they're built. Cass understood. He agreed, in fact. Hylians were a little much sometimes, with all their rigid manners and aversion to maintaining eye contact. He had learned to cope with it, spending so much time around them, but honestly, some of it still felt a little weird. It was comforting, really, to know that there were Hylians that felt the same way he did, even if they had trouble with different aspects. And Link got around it remarkably well. The child could speak out loud if he really needed to, though his Hylian accent was oddly archaic, like some of Cass's ballads from before the Calamity, and his speech was slow and difficult. But with many people, he instead exchanged words by means of gestures, a sort of sign language instead of verbal speech. Hylian sign, the manager at the outskirts stable called it. Cass tried to learn a little, but... well, the language was quite clearly built for speakers with 5 nimble fingers, not 4 feathery talons. He could just about manage hello, goodbye, trade, music, and thank you. Fortunately, that was usually enough to get by, on the rare occasion that he met someone who didn't speak verbal Hylian. In any case, Link certainly understood verbal Hylian without issue, and listened more deeply to his song than anyone Cass had met before. When it was done, the kid still sat, entranced. Cass hadn't dared to interrupt, nor had he cared to. The kid was in a world of his own. And then, finally, Link stood up. There was something different in those eyes than had twinkled there before, something old and melancholy that had put Cass on edge. "Thank you," he murmured. "That was..." A gesture Cass could not interpret, while Link struggled for words. "That was familiar to me, I think. Beautiful?" "You're welcome," Cass bowed his head. "Thank you for the compliment."
"What?"
The kid's head tilted in what had to be curiosity.
"What are you doing so far from village?"
"Oh!" He gave a pleased hum. Many Hylians asked that question, but he felt flattered that this young one would go through so much effort to ask. "I'm a musical anthropologist, I suppose you could say. Though not so much the scholarly type. I travel around the continent, learning the local musics of different people." The kid smiled.
"Music. I like music. Used to sing a little."
"How lovely. You don't anymore?" The smile stayed fixed on his face as Link shook his head.
"Can't. Shrine did a good job, but couldn't fix throat entirely. Hurts if I try."
His throat... That must be why the kid's voice was so hoarse and scratchy. Perhaps it had something to do with why he didn't seem to talk much.
"I'm very sorry," Cass swallowed against the sudden lump in his own throat.
He couldn't imagine, but then perhaps it didn't matter quite as much to a Hylian as it did to a Rito.
"That must be frustrating,
but here I am, doing nothing but reminding you. My apologies. You've no need for a Rito's pity. You said you like music. Is there a particular song you'd like to hear from me?" As it happened, there was not. But regardless, from there the two of them launched into a perfectly acceptable discussion that lasted all the way to dusk. "Yes," Cass resolved. "Yes, I should make sure to keep an eye on this one." The next time was only slightly different. Sure, it was pretty weird that Link had managed to find him perched on a rock hundreds of meters out to sea. But Hylians had managed stranger before. That construction of cloth and wood he used to glide here from the cliffs was cleverly built. And expertly guided. So Cass just smiled and showed the kid the song he'd been working on, and watched his eyes light up with understanding. It was cute, like a little hatchling finally figuring out how to sing. It became a little less cute when Cass actually started keeping track. Link found him on top of the glowing tower in a bottomless pit, on the cliffs near the Gerudo Desert. He listened so intently to his song, glided off to the smooth black pedestal on a nearby cliff, and fired an arrow into the sun, and seemed completely unsurprised when a glowing orange structure rose out of the ground beneath him. Link found him off in Rabio Plain, and after listening to the local legend, went off and spent half the day chasing deer until he managed to stay atop one, sweaty and bruised and covered in mud. And he laughed and laughed and laughed, and even Cass couldn't help but chitter amusement at the sight. But then Link led the buck onto the platform, and grinned victorious when another structure rumbled from the ground. He walked in, and a few minutes later, came right back out again. Link found him atop the highest mushroom near Hyrule Ridge, and how the kid managed that, Cass would never guess. He couldn't have glided to it. That mushroom was the highest thing around. Yet, there he was when Cass turned around, ready to listen with anticipation in his eyes. Still, Link was a sweet kid, and if the shadows in his eyes were gradually being replaced by a more relaxed determination, Cass had to take that as a win. That dark blonde hair grew out. His tunic sprouted holes, then patches. Some days, a giant fluffy wolf stood by his side with patience like the mountain snow. It was nice, he supposed, having someone whose coming he could never predict. Not always having to seek out company, but not constantly having people at his elbow either. And Link was good company for Cass. He was good at companionable silence, and not too overwhelming to speak with. He didn't try to get Cass to read anything, either, once he explained the way letters danced beneath his gaze. And Link was an excellent cook. Cass continued his pilgrimage. In all the places his teacher insisted he play so long ago, Link found him. In each, after hearing the song he'd found, or which his teacher had found, Link did something and unearthed a shrine. That was what Link called them, anyway, shrines. Cass's teacher had called them trials. By the time Link met him again in Rito Village, he was sure of it. He stopped by his storage, a private little cave beneath the bluffs under the village. Dug through his things, and all of the instruments he couldn't play but had inherited from his teacher. Ocarinas, harps, lyres, everything under the sun, until he found it. A pictograph, not a drawing, of the champions before the calamity. Before Cass was even born. And sure enough, sandwiched between Princess Mipha and the Gerudo champion, right behind Princess Zelda, there he was. Link looked a couple of years younger, certainly in the picture, more blank and less haunted, and without those awful burn scars that now ran all the way up the poor kid's side. Still, if it wasn't for the 100-year gap, Cass could have sworn they were the same person. They had to be. He gave a little hum as he thought. It was true, he supposed. No wonder Link was so often attacked by random passerby. No wonder he could do such astonishing things, if he was the hero of old. But even now, Cass knew he wasn't ready. He was just a kid. He was just exploring, and relearning all of the things he'd forgotten on the way. He'd be in real trouble if he'd faced the Calamity now. As he'd have to, if the Calamity's servants knew who he was supposed to be. And servants they certainly were. For how else could the Calamity have taken control of every guardian and divine beast on the continent, all in one fell swoop? All it would take was a word in the wrong ear. And then Cass tucked the picture into his belt pouch for safekeeping and flew back to the village. Don't you worry, Link, he thought. Just keep tracking me down. I'll guide you where you need to go. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the story, you can leave feedback for the author at archiveofourown.org/works/22756639. And if you enjoyed my reading, you can find me at archiveofourown.org/users/lattice_frames.